Hello and welcome to episode 129 of Wada Hockey, where we chat all things Texas and this week Ilves hockey, as we will be joined by another guest from Tampere, Finland. But before we bring him on, you know the drill. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms, all at Wada Hockey. And please, for the love of Pete, go share some love to all of our writers over on the Wada Hockey website, wadahockey.com. We are super excited to have that up and running just in time for the upcoming season. So make sure to head over to wadahockey.com, interact with the writers, ask them questions about their articles, check it out. We hope to be adding a lot more to that website here in the coming weeks and months as the season progresses. Really, we're just ready to get to the season period. For now, we are excited to bring more Texas and Ilves updates to you as the regular season does approach. Ilves is currently underway with play in the Championship League Hockey, CHL. Yeah, that sounds right. As they are currently undefeated and begin league play in Liga today as of recording this intro with a 4-3 victory over Podiasat. And then for all of our Stars fans, Texas Stars fans, Dallas Stars fans, don't you worry. Training camp is right around the corner, and we will be following and diving into all things Dallas and Texas Stars and what's to come with the expectations, predictions, and storylines, as well as the Allen Americans, as we have continued to bring you some awesome interviews with a lot of their roster that's already been announced and hopefully more of the roster that is announced in the very near future. But for now, if you're looking to replace your moldy old hockey bag with a broken zipper, check out conwayandbanks.com. They make premium quality bags that are built to last. They include removable organizers to keep your gear organized and keeps everything dry with waterproof materials and giant vents. Jason's favorite feature, it's mine too, is the built-in foot mat that keeps your feet dry in those wet locker rooms. Comes in three different sizes with five different color patterns, so you're going to be sure to find the one that you love. Get 10% off using code WADAHOCKEY10 and get your gear to the rink in. This is for everybody because it's just me today. Sauce toss is the game of the summer, even though I think we've escaped. I think we've made it out of the summer. Praise be. Golly, it sure does feel good to not go outside and feel like you're being attacked by the giant flaming ball of fire in the sky. But if you're looking for a way to spend time outside now that it's bearable, head over to saucetoss.com and use promo code WADASAUCE 10% off your entire order. Again, that's WADASAUCE for 10% off your entire order. Hashtag bags for beauties. I got to give a huge shout out once again to Third Line Draft. I was able to experience one of the draft parties just a couple of weekends ago at the NYTEX Event Center in North Richland Hills. It was an absolute blast. Randy and the entire crew do a fantastic job of putting everything together. They welcome all skill levels, male, female. It doesn't matter if you've been playing 1 week, 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, 1 lifetime. Third Line Draft is a place to go and have a couple beers, talk with some like-minded people, make some new friends, and get some awesome pictures, player cards, and just have a great time all weekend long. They're doing trips to Scotland. They've done trips to Las Vegas. They had one down here in Dallas, like I just said. They go all over. So if you've got a destination that you want to go visit and play some hockey at the same time, probably don't fly Spirit on that one, folks, because your sticks are going to turn into pieces of carbon fiber and all kinds of materials that are used in sticks these days. Head over to thirdlinedraft.com. Again, draft is spelled D-R-A-U-G-H-T, thirdlinedraft.com, and get signed up today. Last but certainly not least, play every day with Nice Mitts. That's with two T's, by the way. N-I-C-E-M-I-T-T-S. The perfect fit beyond the rink with athleisure meeting hockey. Nice Mitts brings players a complete lineup of hockey athleisure apparel and ultralight pro-level gloves. Speaking of, introducing the Pro Series Mitts, designed for players who want a pro-level protection and the ability to feel the puck like never before. The PSM gloves are the first hockey gloves that are machine wash friendly. Now your gloves will stay fresh and look new for every shift. Check them out at nicemitts.com and score 10% off at checkout with WadaHockey10. All right, up next, a former Texas star. So there is a Texas tie, all the Texas hockey podcast, true to form faithfuls. Don't you worry. We dive into his time with the Texas Stars. If you saw the viral clip of the linesman saying, "Don't let me down," and the Texas star in the penalty box saying, "Talk to him," and then bolting onto the ice for one of the most spirited tilts of that season. Well, guess what? We've got him here on the podcast. Jeremy Gregoire, currently with Ilves over in Tampere, sat down with us just about a week ago, leading into a couple more games before we have this coming out. I believe we're going to do Thursday. That would be September 14th. And I just want to say this was an awesome interview and awesome time. So I hope you guys enjoy. I will be back right after the interview to say thanks and goodbye. So hockey has a wild way of working out, and this instance is no exception. It's no secret that we are large supporters of Ilves when it comes to Liga hockey, and have been fortunate enough to have a few of their players, former and current, on the podcast over the years. So, you know, why not add one more to the list? A former draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens in the 2013 NHL entry draft. He's played over 380 games in the AHL with St. John's Icecaps, Laval Rocket, Tucson Roadrunners, and the most recently Texas Stars, and currently suits up for the one and only Ilves. And for the first time ever, we are recording on a birthday. So happy birthday. Welcome to the podcast, Jeremy Gregoire. How are you, sir?
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'm doing good. Thanks.
Yeah, so we were just kind of chatting about what you had going on before your before we had you on, and you saw a Finnish baseball game.
So, it's crazy. My mind is still blown by it.
First time?
Yes. Yeah, so explain a little bit, like, is it basically the same rules, or is it just like a completely different game?
It's completely different. So the team at bat just lines up behind the home plate. So everybody's cheering for their own guy hitting, but the pitcher is beside the guy hitting. So he basically just lobs it in the air, and then the guy obviously hits it because it's an easy ball. But then there's no fences around. So as soon as it's in play, the guy could hit it, like, bounce in play and then roll straight to the woods. And the defensive player would just run in the middle of the woods and try to chuck it. And honestly, like, and the other thing, it's not three base. It is three bases, but they run in diagonal.
What?
Yeah, so they would start on the left, let's say on the third base, and then cross to the first base, which would be their second base, and come back to the third base. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a type Finnish baseball on YouTube. It's worth the watch.
It sounds chaotic.
Yeah.
It is very chaotic. I was with a couple of my Finnish teammates, and they were trying to explain it to me, but a couple of things got lost in translation. That's for sure. I'd say I understand like 70% of the rules. I was able to clap at the right time, so that was a win for me.
That's all you need. As long as you can cheer at the right time, then that's all you need.
For sure.
I would be looking around for when other people start cheering. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Just nod with everybody else. Well, so this stint in Tampere is not your first experience playing overseas, as you spent the previous season playing in Austria with Vienna Capitals, but it is your first professional season with Ilves. How has the adjustment been for you, kind of being over there, like you said, being with your teammates, maybe getting a little lost in translation here or there? What's the experience been like for you with Ilves so far?
It's been awesome, but it's been very much eye-opening. First day at camp, we all go up. I mean, my teammates, and we got this meeting with the whole team, the whole organization, and the coaches are speaking Finnish for 15 minutes, talking about the team and all that, and I was like, oh, I am not understanding anything that's going on here. Like, that's going to be an adjustment. And then first practice, he comes in, he explains practice, explains drills, and it's all in Finnish. So I got the guy beside me just talking over him, like almost the same tone. So he's trying to tell me what we're doing. And then in the back of the room, we got some Czech guys. So somebody else is translating. And on the other side, there's another English guy. So he's getting, so four people are talking at the same time, just mumbling and on top of each other. And I was like, oh, I just need to focus, and then I'll just go on the back of the line and I'll know what I'm doing next.
There you go.
Yeah. So as far as like the on ice, was your time with Vienna, was it the same size rink that is in Finland as far as Liga goes?
Yeah, same size rink. I would say Finland has their own rink size for every city. So it's the rinks are smaller. They're more like North America. So it wasn't much of the rink size. It was more it still is. I'm still adjusting. I would say it's the pace of play, like the way they practice. And it's very special to see that because Finland is not a big country when you think about it. There's like 6 million people, but they have really good hockey players. Like, if I compare it to Quebec, where I'm from, we're like 9 millions, but these guys are 6 and they have their own league. They have some great players in all the levels, like AHL, NHL. They have so it's pretty amazing to see them play, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know that Ilves is currently kind of in the midst of the first few matches inside the CHL, the Champions Hockey League. Have you had to make any adjustments on ice to adapt to like the Ilves style of play as opposed to when you played here?
Yeah, well, when they signed me, the GM really told me to bring my defensive game. I was going to be used as a good penalty kill player, like a good locker room guy. So my game hasn't changed that much, but it's really like adjusting my pace of play has been really been different. And we just played Bolzano, which was a really good team in my previous league against Vienna. Like we lost against them in the semis, and it wasn't even close. But then we start the game against Bolzano, and I haven't even stepped on the ice, and it's 2-0 for us. And the plays our guys were making, like the rushes, the shots we were taking. It's probably the one time in my life I was sitting on a bench and being like, whoa, okay, these guys are legit. Like, guys are my
It's pretty really fast.
Yeah, it's really fast. So no, I've been blending in pretty well, but I'm trying to take as much as I can, like on their speed, their passing, the way they practice, and I feel it's going to be a huge improvement for my game as well.
Yeah, and I want so badly to be able to get over there to catch a game. The style of play is so different from what you see here.
Yeah.
Yeah, our practices are like 75% just line rushes, like 5-on-2 and like full ice, and we practice twice a day during training camp. We work hard, and it's really in my style, I would say, because I'm a hardworking player, and I knew coming in, like we'll probably touch about that, but my brother played in the league for a long time too, so I knew what to expect, but it's a whole new dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because the next question we had lined up is, take us back to kind of the beginnings for you, as you were born into a very hockey-centric family, and your father was a hockey player and a coach. Your brother, like you just mentioned, also plays and played in Liga for a while with Luka. I think it's Rama, I believe it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Was there a definitive moment where you knew that you wanted to be a hockey player, or was it just kind of like you were born and you're like, okay, I'm a hockey player. Everybody else is a hockey player. I was born in Quebec, so this is my life.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Actually, I started to play hockey in Texas. So my first organized hockey league was in Texas, Abilene, Texas. My dad was playing there for the Aviators in 99 and 2000. I think the team unfortunately folded in 2000, but so my first season I was 5-6 years old, and back in those days in Abilene, I don't know how the hockey programs are now, but they didn't have many kids playing, so you would play not in your age group, you would play with whoever started playing, so year one of hockey, year two, year three, year four.
Yeah,
so I would be five or six, and I would play against kids that were like 12 or 13, just starting to play. So like the gap in size is just massive. So I spent the whole season, my first season, I did not touch the puck. Like I'm serious. I did not touch the puck, but I still loved the game. But I remember in my head, I scored a goal in practice, probably because nobody was looking. And I look at my dad and he's standing like, yeah, I made it. Like I scored a goal in practice my first season. So, but that was fun. Those were nice memories. And my father always been a hockey player. Now he's a coach in Baie-Comeau, coach and GM in the CHL, the Quebec League. Mm-hmm. So my brother plays hockey. So you guys know what we talk about around the dining table when we come back in the summer.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Shannon's a hockey mom. Hockey moms are extremely special. How was it for her? Because obviously, you know, as a mom, you kind of want to have something to relate with, but the kids are all coming in the, you know, your dad, your husband, like it's hockey. How was it for her? Like, I'm sure she had a lot of trips to the rink. And then obviously moving down to Texas, like you said, to play professionally here, you know, what was it like kind of growing up in that family style? And what was it like traveling a lot as a kid?
Yeah, she was a great mom for us. She still is, but she's a real hockey mom. I remember our junior days, I was 19 and I was playing for Baie-Comeau. My brother was 16. He was playing for Sherbrooke, living at home in a billet. And my dad was coaching Acadie Bathurst in New Brunswick. So she had the three hats lined up in the house. And whoever would come to Sherbrooke to play the Phoenix, like, she would wear the hat. And she was always great to us. And my dad, being on the road a lot, she would take her time off. She's a teacher, so she would make us learn everything we had. And at home, hockey was a big thing. But first thing you would do when you came back, it was doing your schoolwork. So that also helped us a lot to keep it straight. It worked with me. I'm a pretty good student. I'm still doing some university classes. But with my brother, it was another story. He just wanted to play. So he played hockey. He still does. So
I have two boys that play as well. So I know that dynamic very well. I mean, it obviously worked out for you, as you know, having had a long professional career. But speaking of your brother, did you have any conversations with him, you know, prior to your playing in Tampere, about like the Liga style of play and the atmosphere before signing with Ilves?
Yeah, I spoke to him a lot, actually, especially in the summer. Like we work out together, we skate together. He told me it's a skating league, and it's all about the skills and speed, and very different than what I was used to in the American league. Like I feel like I had to switch my style of play a little bit last year in Vienna, more focus on skating, more like passing, finding the opening, more of a offensive mindset than a gritty go in the corner, fight a guy if you have to, like block a shot, hit. Like, it's, yes, I still need to bring that game because it's my element and it what's makes me a special player, but yes, more in a way it's gonna blend in with other players, and that's the main thing I've been trying to bring to Ilves.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of ironic that your mom was an art teacher, because you kind of look at the North American style of play and it's almost like a car crash, and then you look at like the European style of play and it's very fluid. It's very, yeah, you know, it flows. There's so much more open space. So it's really interesting to kind of look at the difference in the game, and then especially talk to guys like you that are making that adjustment. But I do kind of want to take a step back to last season in the AHL. Because obviously us being a Texas-based hockey podcast, you know, we were excited to find out that you had ties to Texas, and then the roots kind of went even deeper, like you said, growing up here, learning to play here. But what was it like, you know, being in Texas to play professionally, coming back? Because, you know, you grew up here, you got started here, and then you got to play professionally here. What was that kind of like for you, and what was that experience being back in the state of Texas?
Yeah, it was a hard decision, I would say, coming to Texas. It was easy in the hindsight, but I was in Tucson for 3 years. I was loving it. But when Texas called me, I was like, yeah, this is full circle. Like, I started to play in Texas, and I knew that I didn't have that many years left in the American League, because it's they love their prospects, and they want to, like, every team wants to bring them to the NHL, which is the goal, right? And I was feeling at 26, 27, I was more becoming the prospect's grandfather, which I love. But I guess at the same time, I really wanted to give a last shot on a good team. And Texas was a great way to end it. Like, when I finished with the Stars, I knew I was ready to go to Europe and enjoy and play a more offensive role. But no, my year in Texas was awesome. The guys, I mean, the captain, Curtis McKenzie, really opened his arm when I got there, and I got to meet some great guys who are still there. I'm still in contact with them. We still have this group chat going from that season. It's been 3 years, but guys are still texting in there, and it's been pretty awesome. And I have a lot of great memories. My wife was with me down there. We live in the Domain in Austin.
That's where I go. That's where I stay.
Yeah. No, it's a great spot. That's what we told ourselves. We're like, if we go to Austin, we got to live in the Domain. We got to do it right. We had our dog with us, and it was a tremendous season.
And, so, I mean, not to mention that during that time that you spent with the Texas Stars, you became viral. How did you
exactly
feel when
what
that
I was
happened?
Ask. Yeah. Talk to him.
When I realized that's who we were interviewing, I was like, I know this guy.
Yeah. I may have woken Shannon up to a text this morning, and I was like, hey, by the way, I don't know if you remember this, but this is the guy. And I was the same way. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah. What was that like?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't expect to be asked that, but no, that video has been following me a lot, and there's a whole backstory behind it. I don't know if we have time for that, but
we have all the time. If you've got the time, we've got the time.
Yeah. So I'm a pretty emotional player. Like, I play hard, play the game. And I don't know, we were in Grand Rapids, and I'm a winger. So I see a rim coming, and I'm on my defensive position, and I look at the D, and he's not coming down. So I'm like, oh, I got all the time in the world. But obviously in the American League, you got no time, no space. So yeah, as soon as I put my head down, lash off, he's an old veteran, so he knew, so he kind of bait me out. So as soon as I put my head down, he comes down, he nails me, he hits me so hard, I just see stars, literal stars.
Oh, yeah.
So I try to get up, and my ego just puts me up because I was out of it, and I just see this player just yapping at me, chirping me, and then like running away, sort of kind of skating away. So I'm like, oh, you're not getting away. So I just start skating at him, and he skates towards his bench, just like going for a line change. And instead of facing me, he faces the board. So I got two choices here. I got either I push him, and it would be very dangerous because he was, right, I would backboard him pretty much, or I just grab him and whatever happens, happens. So I decided to just grab him. I'm very pissed, but I'm still a little bit conscious at that point. So then we get 2 minutes each, and we go in the penalty box. And then I'm losing my mind. So I tell him, I'm like, you want to chirp me? There's 2 minutes left to our penalty. Like, we're going when we get out. So I'm giving him a countdown. And I go like, there's 1:30 left. There's 1:15. And honestly, I don't know if he's going to fight me or whatever, but I was just mad. I was like, I'm the type of player who tries to answer the bell as much as I could in my American League career.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what he was going to do, but, and then I get out, and credit to him, like, he decides to fight, to drop the glove, and okay, that is that. So good, like, good on both of us. The game like happens and keeps going. But then the next day I get tagging all these videos and all these things, and I try to remember like what happened in the box, but I've never heard the guy between us saying, I'm recording, don't
let me down.
Yeah, don't let me down. I heard the don't let me down, and that's when I said, like, yeah, tell that to him, because I'm
right. Yeah.
Yes. But I never heard the part where he said he was recording. So whatever, the team was not very impressed by like this whole behavior thing, which I understand, but I mean, it's not the worst thing I've done, but hockey's it happens. But it was more the kind of was it went around the globe, that's for sure, because I played in Vienna last year. Guys are like, are you the guy? And then I get here in Ilves, and they're like, oh, you're the guy from the video. Like, yeah, but that's me, but that's not me, you know?
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely eye-opening for us, too, when we pulled it up. We were like, wait a minute, that's the guy, right?
the way you spoke when we were messaging beforehand, it didn't seem like you were the same person. I was like, are you sure that's him? Like, are you sure?
But yeah.
100%. Okay.
But that's the game. Like, yeah, you said, that's the game. That's how you play. It's sometimes emotions get in the way. But yeah, it's a weird time, especially with social media. Everyone's got a camera at all times. You never know who's watching. But thankfully, no choice words were said. It was just a bit of a scruff. And you move on as a viral sensation and a professional hockey player.
No, exactly. No one got hurt, and two guys just doing their job. But I was just surprised that a guy from the league would film it. But that's okay. It's a story.
Yeah, for sure. Like we were talking about, actually, you kind of mentioned it. You were part of a pretty stacked Texas Stars roster. You were playing with guys, like you said, Curtis McKenzie, Thomas Harley, Maverick Bjork, and quite a few others. What was that experience like? I kind of watched a couple of post season interviews that you did, and you said you were kind of like that veteran presence, kind of helping them out. What was that like from your vantage point? Because now you've got, Thomas Harley, he spent a lot of time with the Dallas Stars last season. So, do you get to go back and kind of watch him and say, I helped with a little bit of the development behind that, or what's it been like for you?
Yeah, I would say Thomas is a great player, so I think he would have made it without me. It's not I think that year was a big difference for me in my role. I really embraced that role of parenting, I would say. We had these two Swedes on the team. We had Frederick Karlström and Oscar mm-hmm. Beck, which were rookies at the time. And I really bonded with them. I was their personal driver because, I don't know, when you come from overseas, it's your first season. Some guys are kind of, they don't know if they're going back or whatever. Like, they don't know what's going on. So they didn't have a car and they were living right beside me. So I ended up driving them the whole season. And I was kind of, guys were joking, I was their taxi driver, but it was all fun and good. And I was just trying to have this little positive energy every day. And I was just following the guys, because we had some guys like Ty DeLandria, Ryan Shea, they would play golf pretty much every week, and they were great golfers, and we would have like team activities. So it was the year where I felt the most comfortable in a dressing room, I would say. And even, I know it's terrible podcasting, but the Swedish guys, they did.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of me in my car and them two in front of it. So
that's great. Wearing it
for this podcast. So
that's
perfect.
It was an awesome year.
That's fantastic. That's so cool.
So if it's okay with you, I'd like to kind of shift a little bit to like off ice kind of life. Texas is very big and loud and there's a lot going on, but was there anything specifically that you just truly enjoyed about your time here? Like for me, it's the food. I love to eat. So hockey and food, that's like my favorite thing. Was there like a specific food that you liked more than anything?
I'm a big barbecue guy.
Oh, perfect.
I got this story from the Stars training camp. So we get to the Stars training camp in the, I think we were in Fresno, no, Plano. It was in Plano. And my wife decides to come with me. And I told her every time, like every season, like we're in training camp, we're not doing much. Like, don't just stay home. But she decided to come that year. And so one night I'm like, hey, we got to go eat barbecue. I love barbecue. And we go to this brisket spot. And I see on the menu, it's like, whoa, 1 pound of brisket. That's awesome. So like, I'll make it two. Let's eat 2 pounds of brisket. So I grab my sandwich and it's all good. Great dinner.
Yep.
But in the summer, like I watch what I eat. Like brisket is still good, but it's kind of fatty food.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, I wake up. I'm like, I don't feel good. Yeah. Then my dinner was out real quick at 2 a.m. in the morning. And she was like, yeah, that's what you get to eat for eating so much brisket.
2 pounds.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't used to it, but no, the food is definitely great in Texas.
It's dangerous. The brisket's very, very dangerous. It's like a religion here. I'm sure you experienced that, seeing everyone cooking it different ways. So, speaking of like the food and the off-ice life, you know, now you're in Finland. We've had Les on before. And so we asked him, and I'm kind of curious from your point of view, you know, what's the adjustment been like for food? Because it's can be the same, but also extremely different in Finland. So, you know, obviously you're watching what you're eating and you're in mid-season form now, or getting more in mid-season form. What's that adjustment been like for you as far as the food there?
It wasn't too bad. I'd say it's more on the meat side. Like we're used to eating North America, like every cut of beef and pork. And here it's more fish. So I love fish. I love all the seafood and all that, but their steak is a little bit different. Like I have a hard time finding a good, no free ads, but like Perry's or just like a good steak. Yeah. You know?
I love Perry's. That pork chop. Oh, it gives me life.
See, but other than that, it's been good. They have a lot of blueberries. I love blueberries. It's one of my favorite fruits. So no, it's been good. And they have these little rice pies that are kind of rice pies, but they eat for dessert, which are pretty awesome. I don't know the name. My Finnish is not on point yet. I know just a couple words. I know how to play cards in Finnish and count in Finnish a little bit, but other than that, it's pretty basic.
I'm probably gonna butcher it. Is it Karelian? Carolian?
It's a pie. I don't. Sorry.
Close enough. Close enough. Exactly.
Oh, I don't see well. Second.
So wait, blurry.
Exactly.
Is that it?
Oh.
Carolian pasty.
Carolian.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm from Texas. Like please don't murder me, Finland.
Sorry for all the Invest fans.
Yeah, it just made it sound like a Star Wars character.
like a white girl name. Sorry,
so, Finland. Yeah. Sorry, Temperai. We Kitos. That's the one word I know. Thank you.
Kitos.
So aside from the food aspect, you know, what's it been like? You know, you said you went to a Finnish baseball game. Have you gotten to kind of experience anything else there in Tampere as far as the country goes, the culture? You know, obviously the driving's a little bit different because you're on the other side of the car, other side of the road. You know, have you been able to experience much else, or has it pretty much been go, go, go as far as like hockey?
Yeah, training camp's been go, go, go. As you said, two practices, workout games, but I've been able to experience. So Tampere is surrounded by two lakes on each side, and there's a couple of islands there. So I was able to go on one of the islands. You take a ferry. It's like a 20-minute boat ride, and you go on there. And there's a sauna. You can walk around, and very like a lot of stuff in the woods, in the nature. Like I'm from a small town in Quebec called Sherbrooke, which is surrounded by mountains and stuff. So I really rely with the nature things and like life on the lake and stuff like that. So I've been loving it so far. Like, yes, I live downtown in the city. Tampere is a big city for Finland, but I love getting out. Like a 10-minute drive and you're out in the woods, and my dog's going to be here in a month. So we're going to go to the dog park and walk. And so it's going to be pretty awesome.
That sounds amazing.
We got to know we got to know what kind of dog you have.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a husky German Shepherd. Oslo, his name is, if he's listening. But I know he's a good boy. We rescued him from up north, Quebec, and he's been following us in Arizona, Texas, Austria, and now in Finland.
Oh, I'm sure he's hated Texas.
I was going to say, I'm sure he's going to enjoy Finland much more than Texas.
Yeah.
No, he actually loved the dog park in the domain. He was one of the... Yeah, he was there every day. I remember one day somebody walked in with a half wolf kind of dog. Mm-hmm. And the dog was so big that nobody would even touch him, but only my dog. He was just jumping all over him and getting rowdy. And he's a social dog. We love him.
That's awesome. That. Well, we want to get to know you a little bit more. You know, this is interesting for a lot of people, especially the Ilves fans, some Texas Stars fans. So I'm going to kick it over to Shannon. We're going to do some rapid fire questions to try and get to know you a little bit more. Just the first answer that comes to the top of your head. So Shannon, go for it.
Well, of course, you know, we're going to keep with the food theme. You know, it's very important. Yeah. Very important.
We already know what the answer is not going to be. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, maybe, other than
barbecue, what do you like to eat before a game?
Before a game, I've been eating the same thing since I'm 16 years old. Pasta, chicken, and red sauce.
Okay.
Very basic, but my pre-game meals since for 10 years plus now. Yeah, every game.
There's something to this pasta nonsense.
I'm telling you. So what about music? Do you have a pre-game playlist or a favorite song you like to listen to kind of get geared up? Or is it kind of whatever's on in the locker room?
Pre-game, yeah, in the locker room. I don't like to take care of the music, too much work. But back home, I have this one song I listen before every game. I'm not even sure nobody knows about. Well, it's the ESPN Mega Mix, the Jock Jams 1999 with Michael Buffer that hops in the clip. That's my all-time song before every game I listen to it. The video clip is their best. Very early 2000s kind of clip, but a hell of a jam.
I definitely had like three or four of those Jock Jam CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Before Spotify, before Pandora, just the CDs.
Don't lie to him. You know it's still on the mix that we listen to every Monday night.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a skate that shall not be mentioned most Monday nights, and we have a pretty sick little playlist put together for that.
until people start playing Taylor Swift, then I get a little cranky.
He does Then he needs a nap or some food and he'll be fine. But anyway, do you have a favorite — and this is going to be difficult, and I'm sure you've tried to think about this and had trouble — but do you have a favorite hockey memory?
A favorite —
I know it's so difficult.
Yeah, all the biggest events I've done have resulted in losses except one. So I'll go with that winning championship one.
The one.
Yeah, the one. There you go.
Yeah. The Hyvin Linka tournament when I was 17 with Team Canada. we won, and that team was just stacked with future NHL star like McKinnon, Horvat, Max Domi, Duclair. My good buddy was Zach Fucale, who was on it. So we went to Czech Republic. It was my first experience in Europe, mm-hmm. and we won the tournament. So it was just good to get out of my little country and see who the best of the world are, and to be part of that team.
That's really incredible. That's such a special awesome. Thing. Yeah. To be able to play with big names like that, and you're like, I made it. I did it. Yeah.
That's awesome. We talk about food a lot on this podcast, I'm realizing today. Food.
I'm so sorry.
We do. Obviously, with the podcast being called Water Hockey, our namesake is from Whataburger here in Texas. Did you ever go to Whataburger while you were in Texas?
I went once. Today. Yeah, I went once, and I'm a big chicken finger guy.
Oh, so did you get it with the gravy?
Was it the gravy? I think I went no gravy. I'm too strict for that. But next time, I did it wrong. I agree. I'll have to.
It's okay. It's okay. We also have very different gravy because I know up in Canada, the gravy is the dark gravy. We have like the cream gravy. So it's like twice as unhealthy. So just get ready for that. You're going to be real tired after you eat those chicken fingers. That's for sure.
Yes.
No protein gravy.
Oh, God, I would. You know, actually, next time you're in Texas, I think a lot of places are adopting the poutine. So they have brisket poutine now. Ooh. And oh, what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not going to be like it's very Texas poutine. It's definitely not Canadian poutine.
Texas
so it's going to be
poutine does not belong in the same sentence.
But here we are.
But here we are. What? That's so strange to me. I don't know. I would try it. I would eat it. But it's strange. Yeah. Do you have any favorite teammates from over the years and why? Or can you tell me a little bit about them?
I think I'll stick with my Texas boys, Curtis McKenzie as a leader. He always shows up. He's a great off ice person as well. Like, you can be a good hockey player, but if you're a great person, it's even better. And the way he carried himself, he helped me a lot that year. It was kind of a new leadership role for me, more undercover. So he really helped me through it. And my bonding with the Swedes, I still talk to them. I've been really fortunate to have some great teammates over the years. But if I stick to Texas, I could do everything, every team I played with, because I don't know why, but I always have some good friends on every team I play. But Texas, yeah, it would be the Swedes and all the golfers as well. Just a little story about that. Like, guys would play golf and go to the range, work on their game after pretty much every practice day. One day I show up with the Swedes just to hit some golf balls, and there's like eight other guys just lining up, and they came in different groups and working on their drive. And DeLandria is just showing me how to cut my ball a bit more and fade it more and like work on my game. So my golf game really improved that year.
You know, that's very true. I was set to spend some time with one of the other players, and every time he's like, oh, we're going to golf. Oh, we're going to golf. I was like, oh, okay. Well, you just let me know when you have some time, which was never.
So have you gotten to talk to Lance? Art Lance. Wow. It's Les there. Wow. He's going to get me so bad for that. Speaking of golf, have you talked to Les a bit? Because obviously Les is a he thinks he's the best golfer on any team that he plays on, but we'll see.
I saw him play. Yeah, we played together. He shot a smooth 76, but the only part that was film, he shot in the water. So I don't know how smooth his 76 was, but no, I know he's a good golfer. He's a good guy too. We're the two only North Americans on the team, so we've been getting along pretty well.
And it's kind of ironic. So the only other former Ilves player that we've had was Nick Baptiste, who also played for the Texas Stars and then played for Ilves. So it's kind of another small world. Les wanted me to ask you, though. He had one question. What's your phone background?
What a guy. So my phone background is a lion.
Okay.
So he's been chirping to me about it because I guess everybody has their background is about their wife or girlfriend or significant other, which mine is in the lock screen, like inside my phone, which is fine. But then I don't know why, but my lion's always been there. It's more of a calming presence, kind of to remind me, like a lion is always calm until he doesn't have to be calm. So that's more of my motto when I'm playing.
Okay. I mean, that's a good answer. He was like, hey, you should ask him about his phone background.
Yeah. They make fun of me, but it's all good. I like it.
They hey, also has... may have shared that you might have a bit of a nickname already.
Oh, yeah.
I've been here
4 weeks and I have a nickname. I have already like the Lion and then Rain Man.
Rain Man.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Why Rain Man? Or do no, I'm just, can you not?
Yeah, I'm a big thinker. So sometimes they say I think too much and I get like lost in my thoughts. And so I don't know, like we flew to Bolzano and our gear, I checked the bag and then I was just outside waiting for everybody else, but I forgot my bag inside. So, you know, in airports, you can't get back in. So I had, to get my bag. So I'm very forgetful. It's not on purpose, but yeah, they call me Rain Man for it, but I'll take it as a compliment as a smart guy.
Oh, there absolutely. You go.
Absolutely.
Who's the one that came up with that?
It's him. It's him and Palve. So Palve is married to a Las Vegas girl. So he's, I would say he's very much American. So he knows a lot of the culture and stuff. So it's been good.
Well, I can personally say you're extremely well spoken. I don't see where this is coming from. I think, you know, whatever you guys, you know, but hey, like you said, you're a locker room guy, so it works.
It's part of it.
We've got one more question. Shannon, you want to fire this one off?
Do I?
I think you do.
Do I? Okay, I will. sorry. If you had to pick somebody to play you in a Hollywood movie, who would you pick?
I'd go Jared Butler. Am I pronouncing that right?
Gerard Butler. Yeah. Gerard, I think that's a,
yeah.
I think Jared Butler is the wish version. So let's stick with Gerard.
No, I want the real guy. Cause yeah, he played in 300 and then that movie, The Law Abiding Citizen.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of a mystery guy. Like sometimes he plays the good guy. Sometimes he's like a bit, he goes over the edge a bit. But I think that would be my character, the mystery guy, the Rain Man of mystery.
Well, he's also got a soft side, you know, like P.S. I Love You. That's a great movie.
Exactly. I wasn't gonna say that movie because
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's okay if Shannon says it. So you're
never
good.
Heard
you're
of in it. The. I don't, no, that's Nick's favorite movie. So
you're in the clear.
That movie.
You're in the clear. Well, Jeremy, like I said, I can't thank you enough for the time. Obviously, there's a big time difference. So thank you for kind of working with us and especially here on your birthday for the first time ever, us having a birthday guest. So we won't do the North American thing and come out clapping and doing the birthday song with the, you know, and embarrassing you in front of everybody. But if you had to give a message to the Ilves fans, what would it be here for the rest of your time with Ilves?
As for the team, we'll start with the team. We have a very good club this year, and they're always going to give everything on the ice. Like we've been practicing hard the whole training camp. We've been showing results so far, so we hope it's going to continue in the Liga. And then for myself, well, I'll be just myself. Like I'll be skating
again,
hard.
Just want to thank Jeremy for his time, sharing those stories. It was really fun because, like we said, it was his birthday. It was really his first podcast experience too. I don't think he'd ever been asked to be on a podcast before.
Thank you so much for the time. Thank you for hopping on here with us. You told us this was your first ever podcast. I think you did a phenomenal job. I think all the Ilves fans are going to absolutely enjoy it.
Or anywhere in Finland, if you're an Ilves supporter. And all of our friends over here in the States, you know, he did have some experience playing here in Texas. So it was really cool to kind of get the back and forth between, you know, Austin, Texas and Tampere and going, you know, all over the place really in his professional career. So just want to thank Jeremy. And as always, want to thank all of the Ilves supporters for really helping us become something that we didn't expect to when we started this podcast. And that was kind of something in a completely different nation that, you know, we don't really understand the language. I'm sorry. I know Kitos. So Kitos to all of our Ilves supporters that listen today. And on behalf of the entire crew, stay sassy, stay moist, make good choices, and don't for any reason whatsoever get into it with Jeremy Gueguar while he is in the penalty box. Get your hermit tattoos. Bye.